This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
God, somebody turn the heat on up in this ride. Good morning. What's today? What holiday is it? What month is it? What is it?
President's Day.
Oh, yeah. John Anthony. Yeah. Hi. He's in today for Dan Proft. And funny ride to work today. If you don't, seriously, when they tell you if you don't have to go outside, don't go outside. What is it? Minus one right now? Oh, no, it's zero at O'Hare. But with the wind chill, minus 18. And it's snowing, too, on top of that. But I don't have heat in my hobo ride. In the hobo ride, there is no heat. So I'm going to keep my coat on for a little bit and warm my hands. I thought I was going to call Justin and be like, Justin, it was nice working with you. I'm going to die. How was your ride for work? Because you, what, how far away? You live in Indiana, right?
Almost.
Or Iowa?
Oh, close to Iowa. There. No, it was slip and slide. I mean, people were doing spin outs right in front of me, going right off the road. It was a crazy drive in today.
How long did it take you to get here?
I left at about 3-ish. Yeah, because I knew it would take me a lot longer to get here today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to get here early and prepare, and that all time got sucked up in the drive here. But why do we pay taxes if no, and most importantly, tolls?
Yeah.
If no one is mining the store, no one gives it. They don't give a crap about us. They don't care if we, you know, the morning workers, if we slide off the highway.
Yeah.
They really don't care. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Because I don't feel like paying the tolls on the way back today. I feel like covering the thing and giving them the bird and flying through there.
55 was so much cleaner and clearer than 355, which
really
has the toll on it. Yeah. So much cleaner. 55.
What, does this have something to do with COVID? Is that why people are plowing the streets today? No, really. I want to know. Justin, how was your ride to work? Because you live in Wisconsin.
I wish.
No, well, you live. Yeah, that's right. Because, you know, lesser rules up there in Wisconsin.
Amen.
How was it for you?
On the Kennedy, it was awful. Is it maybe the worst I've ever driven in on? I'm not even being dramatic. Like, I was fishtailing the whole time.
I know. And what kind of car do you have?
I have a little Hyundai Elantra.
You know what? You would look really good in a used minivan. So if you want to switch with me, you and I could, I'll gas it up. For you, I'll lube the chassis, whatever you need, and then, you know,
Take some kids to soccer practice?
Sure. I could do whatever. If you want to just take the hobo ride home,
I love it.
Then I'll let you drive the minivan, because you won't look creepy or anything. So, all right. So, here's the deal. So, I was gone for a few days doing a live remote from Florida.
Oh, nice.
Because I was picking up a puppy. And it's cruel to take a puppy from Florida where it's 80 degrees. To where it's 0 degrees. So I've been up. Why would we get a puppy?
Right.
In the dead of winter. Oh. So I had, do you have any animals?
No, none. You know why? They don't have a social security number. There's no taxes.
I can't deduct them.
They can't be deducted.
So
I have too many kids. Why would I want
an animal? What are you, like, you're six. 17 now? No, you have six.
Six,
kids.
Yeah.
Are any of them back in school?
Well, they go back, I believe, March 1st or...
Wait, I thought they had some type
so
of type
they,
hybrid.
They do.
Okay.
But they're talking about sending them back completely. I think it's either the end of February or beginning of March.
Really?
We're winning.
Monday through Friday?
Monday
like
through Friday. All at school, yes.
Oh my God, you're going to be free.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Just the pressure of just not having to deal with all six. That sounds like I sound like a really bad dad.
No, you're not a bad dad, but yeah. There comes a point in time where they got to get out of the house.
Oh, my.
I got to tell you, my stepson picked us up from the airport last night, and he's got, and I'm never saying his name ever because he tells me things, and I don't want his teachers to know what kid I'm talking about.
Yeah.
All I can say is he goes to District 214.
Uh-oh.
And again, he was so gung-ho about the hybrid learning at first, and then it's not cool.
No.
It's not cool. It's not cool. To go to school.
Yeah.
That's what he was telling me.
Yeah.
And so, and I said, well, give me three reasons why you don't go. And he said, well, I can cheat on all of my homework and I could cheat on all of my tests. And he said, everybody does that. He goes, also, we do not have to interact with our teachers.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. Like, you know, if we don't like a teacher, we just tune them off. So there's absolutely no adult student interaction.
Wow.
And then also he clips on and goes back to sleep.
Oh. My kids.
E-learning is bull jive.
It is. It really is.
They need to get rid of all of this crap and all this mask bull jive as well. Because there's a new study out. We'll talk about it later. But that masks are making people that have more headaches. Yeah. I know that I have lockjaw right now from wearing all these masks. I know it sounds crazy, but I went to my dentist and he gave me some Botox right here just to relax because I was like gripping. Yes. So, and you know, I took a wrong turn in Florida and I ended up in a school, and it wasn't a private school. It was a public school, and kids were happy and there were no masks and they were outside and their teachers were out there, you know, sending them off at the end of the day. With, you know, a few of them had masks.
Wow. Freedom.
It was freedom. It was regular school. And I did the same thing when I was in Utah. I took a wrong turn again and ended up in a kid's parking lot, which I looked like a creep. Like, I look like, you know, I better not have a trench coat on here. And I just was staring at these kids and I just started crying. Yeah. I honestly, it was pre-K through eighth grade.
Yeah.
And they were all out because it was at the end of the day. And I started bawling because they have the freedoms that we do, but they have common sense politicians where we are so loathing that here at our state level, at, you know, at our
I mean, we have none though. When you think about it,
we have none.
Have you heard any rational, reasonable person get up and push back against what we have to deal with or what we've had to deal with for the entire past year?
Right. We're the only ones. This station is the only station pushing back on any of these draconian measures.
Yes. Oh, I've seen the tweets. Okay.
I've seen your tweets.
Your tweets. You garner a lot of attention. Oh. That's awesome. It's amazing, though. I sit and I laugh. I say, oh, you guys are not ready for Amy Jacobs.
Now, did they silence you on Twitter?
No.
Wait.
And they just took away 1,000 followers I had.
Okay. Did they do that or were people dropping out?
People were dropping and then they started taking people off.
They started banning people.
Yeah, I have friends who had to create second accounts and say, hey, here's my second account because they banned my account.
I lost about 3,000 followers.
Whoa!
And I was watching through the weekend. I was with my mom and we were watching. I'm like, oh, I just lost 600 more. I'm like, oh, 1,000 gone. Yeah. I'm still up to 22.6. Let me see. Let's see what I have.
Uh-oh.
While I'm here, let's check my Uber rating. No, I'm kidding. Because I did tip my Uber driver a lot more because I want to get my Uber rating up. All right, let's see. I have 22.6.
Wait, let's talk about that. Why would you have a bad Uber rating?
We can talk about it. We'll take a break and come right back. See if it's going up.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
All right, Mike Scott. Did you fly to work? Because you said you had
no
problems.
You guys just need to learn how to drive.
Oh.
Come on now.
Okay, Dad, take me out in the parking lot after the show and teach me how to drive.
It is not that bad out this morning. Tomorrow morning?
Oh, wait.
We may all be, I'm camping here.
Is it going to be
inches.
One of those?
Yeah.
10 inches?
6 to 10, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We could
I'm
get,
calling
spots
in sick
will get
now.
10. Nah,
I got snowitis. That's real
just
bad.
Camp in Jeff's office. You'll be fine.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Remember that one time we all stayed at the Sheridan? What year was that?
It was just shared on all of our Facebooks. It was
10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago. That's we had 14 inches of snow.
And blizzard conditions.
And Keith Conrad and I took the station Hummer
a
quarter mile from the hotel, which is right near the offices here, to here, and it took 45 minutes
to
go a quarter mile.
And I donned a complete ski Viking suit, goggles, the mask, before masks were, you know, the thing, hat, everything, and I walked.
Yeah.
I walked on Arlington Heights.
What?
Road. Yep. And I made it here before they did. It was crazy. But remember John Howell was working here at the time?
Sure, oh yeah.
And John Howell's like, I'll get out.
Sure.
I'll get out of my Lake Forest my bunker. I'll be fine.
Sure.
He opened up the garage door, shut the garage door, and went back in. Went straight back into bed.
Went back to his bourbon and his cigar and then called in.
Exactly.
It wasn't 2012, was it?
It was 10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was 2011.
All right, so when is this going to end?
When is it going to end?
Not the show, because that ends at 9. But
well,
I mean,
no.
The bad weather.
Bad weather is trending to be over, I don't know, Tuesday afternoon, maybe?
All right.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Let freedom ring this afternoon at 2 with Sean Hannity on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, let's get to the news of the day. It's happened for a second time. President Trump, former President Trump, acquitted again. The Senate on Saturday acquitted him. The verdict on a vote of 57 to 43. But seven Republicans joined all the Democrats. What do you think is going to happen to them? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 64636, type in DA. Then a quick comment, because we want to get your calls, your take on not only the seven Republicans who sided with the Democrats, but what's President Trump's political future? And also, how did his defense team do on Friday? John Anthony, I know you watched. I watched, too. I know my favorite part, but what was your favorite part? Because they were very effective.
Yes.
Michael Van Der Veen.
Yeah.
Van Der Veen. I love the Van Der Veen.
I love how they completely pointed out the hypocrisy of the left and those who are, you know, those of the left, Democrat leaders of the left, and how they were able to show that what they played was edited. It wasn't it wasn't everything that was said in context, and then they just came and brought it home right into context. That was just masterful.
Yeah, it was a pre-produced video that showed the, you know, we're slinging rhetoric that could be inflammatory on both the right and the left.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country, and maybe there will be.
There needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives.
You got to be ready to throw a punch.
You have to be ready to throw a punch.
Donald Trump, I think you need to go back and punch him in the face.
That I thought he should have punched him in the face. I
feel like punching him.
I'd like to take him behind the gym if I were in high school.
If we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
No, I wish we were in high school, I could take him behind the gym.
I will go and take Trump out tonight.
Take him out now.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Please, get up in the face of some Congress people.
People will do what they do.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind, and you will pay the price.
We're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the
Well, this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. And for those of you who are soldiers, make them pay.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Ooh, I hate her laugh.
Yeah, creepy, right? That's the Vice President of the United States.
Gosh. And that was very, very effective. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment.
I mean, the clear hypocrisy of the left. Now, so now we can impeach Kamala should the Republicans get the House and the Senate?
Yeah, they're thinking about it. Why not impeach Hillary Clinton? I mean, you tried to impeach a citizen.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is against the Constitution right there. So we knew they were going to lose, but we didn't know that seven Republicans would jump in along the way, including Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
Who he voted no.
Right.
But yet still got in the digs to slam President Trump.
There's no question. None. That President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day. No question about it.
And what if President Trump was still in office?
Right.
Okay, and this impeachment trial was going on. Then what would you do, Mitch McConnell?
If President Trump were still in office, I would have carefully considered whether the House managers proved their specific charge.
Cowardly?
Yeah.
Come on. That was cowardly.
Let's go to Terry, who joins us from Rogers Park. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Morning. I think President Trump may have unintentionally caused what happened at the Capitol. But what I think really caused it is from the very beginning of his presidency, Democrat politicians started deliberately instigating violence and hateful writing. Yeah. And Mitch McConnell is full of crap.
All right. Happy President's Day. Thanks, Terry, for the phone call. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just that clip. They played other clips with Madonna and other people who, you know, I know people, a lot of people don't like Madonna, but she is an influencer and young kids, and young, even though she's 60. But people listen to her.
They just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe.
Well, we'll get that part later, but let's go to the phone lines. 312-642-5600. Let's go to Ed in Oak Brook. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning. You know what? There was two audiences for that defense team. One was for the chamber, which none of those people even listened to, except for that guy Lee. And then the rest was for the citizens of America, or the ones that could vote that are alive. And I thought the Democratic side, they're totally shameless, altering evidence. And then if you listen to the post comments from, let's say, Dick Durbin, Mitch McConnell, and others, they didn't listen to anything. They didn't hear how unconstitutional this is. I was so disgusted by the Democrats, but I was so proud of the Republican or the defense team. And then I'm hearing that this guy's house is being vandalized, and he's getting death threats and all of this good stuff. I mean, when does this crap going to end? I don't think it ever will end until there is something very, very bad that happened maybe 150 years ago is going to take place. Anyway, thank you for taking my call.
All right, thanks for calling, Ed. I mean, I'm still sickened by what happened at the Capitol, but I'm also sickened by the response that people, you know, I had my friend from the Netherlands, she called me and said, you let this happen. You voted for him. This is your responsibility. The onus lies on me. And I'm still friends with her because I love her. We're, you know, we're sisters. We fight. Yeah. But how dumb is that?
You know what
I'm not that person. I'm not that Republican. Yeah. I'm not, you know, and there were, yes, there were Antifa members there. Yes, there was BLM members there. But mostly they were Trump supporters. So let's just admit it, folks. Okay. Yeah. They were. So I had to take off my Republicans Don't Riot bumper sticker on my car. And I can't wear my Republicans Don't Loot t-shirt anymore.
You're done with that.
Yeah, I was very disappointed. And I know a lot of Trump supporters who are done with him.
Yeah, but
after that.
You know what? That doesn't sicken me as much as what we had to endure the entire summer. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I mean, you had so many people die. You had police stations taken over, burned down. You had churches burned down.
32 people died.
You had a courthouse completely taken over or tried to be taken over in I believe it's Oregon. How many people lost their businesses through rioting? I mean, that sickened me more than what happened on January 6th. I'm sorry. You know, some elected officials felt uncomfortable. Okay. Now, the part about five people dying.
They've never experienced, like, you and I have had different life experiences when they, you know, people were charging them.
Yeah.
They, you know, because they heard noises. And, they broke into the Capitol. And, some people were sitting in their offices,
and
which
they were
is
let
creepy.
In.
I know. They were let in,
they
too.
They were let in, too.
But you and I have lived different lives where that wouldn't scare us as much as it just freaked other politicians out.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that if they got to Mike Pence, they might have killed Mike Pence.
Mm.
And I don't like the way Trump treated Mike Pence at
that's
the
fair.
End.
That's fair.
And that, you know, Mike Pence was just following the letter of the law, following the Constitution.
It wasn't Mike Pence that people should be pissed off. Oh,
they were, though.
It should be the state legislative bodies who didn't do their jobs, who allowed the courts to usurp their authorities. That's where the angst should have been, not Mike Pence. Mike Pence had to go. He had one job to do, certify the electoral results. But guess what? That could have been stopped at the state legislative bodies of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Georgia, wherever. Because you know why? Because they had Republican-controlled legislatures. That's where the angst should be.
312-642-5600 to the phone lines we go. Here's our good friend Randy in Crown Point. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Amy, I thought I set you straight Friday. They think you're one of them. So you can't think that you're not one of them because they have convinced us that we're all bad as a Republican. You know that.
I know.
But I think that Mitch McConnell, he disappointed me. I think he's been the best statesman of the whole nonsense from the beginning with the Supreme Court justices, Merrick Garland, all that stuff. I think he was the best statesman. However, in this case, he completely disappointed me. Mitt Romney, he's the one that I'm ashamed that I voted for, that I supported, because he's now looking for guaranteed income for children. I mean, this is that guy that's supposed to be a conservative. He's the guy that needs to go out. Jeff Sessions, Ben Sasse. I never thought Ben Sasse was, he never cared about Trump in the first place. You go down the list. Mitch McConnell, for the most part, supported Trump. I think Mitch McConnell has always stepped in doo-doo his whole period in the Senate. He just tends to do it. But these guys are dyed in the wool. They might as well join the Lincoln Project and be charter members of that group. So I think they all need to go. I still support Trump. And I'm not ashamed of the White House of the Capitol building anymore, because look at the statesmen in the Capitol. Every one of them deserve to have their houses torched for being the idiots that they are. What about the business owners that didn't deserve it? They were not part of it. They were just trying to make a living. And not a single one of those lawmakers lost a paycheck. Those business owners lost everything.
All right. Thanks, Randy, for the phone calls. And more of your phone calls coming up.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
All right. We were talking during the commercial about the horn guy. What's his name? The shaman? Is that what you call him?
The shaman.
And because some of these, there are a bunch of goofballs that were there. There were people that really wanted to hurt politicians. I agree. And then there are just some people that were there for the gram.
Yeah.
I mean, the Instagram, that's what the kids call it, the gram. And that's a guy with the horns on his head. Jake, what's his last
Angeli?
Name? Jake Angeli. He's called Soy Boy because he can only eat organic. And I don't know if you guys know or care, but he was on a hunger strike at the prison in Phoenix. And his mommy came to help to talk to the media. Here's mommy.
He gets very sick if he doesn't eat organic food, literally, will get physically sick.
Well, then maybe you shouldn't raid the Capitol and leave a note saying we're taking over. sitting in Mike Pence's chair.
Yeah, what fun times.
312-642-5600. To the phone lines we go. We want to get your calls in. Let's go to Tony in Steger. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I heard Lindsey Graham say yesterday on the Chris Wallace show that seems though they opened up Pandora's box when the House and the Senate are taken over by Republicans. They're able to impeach Kamala Harris. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they you're right. They opened up Pandora's box. Thanks for the phone call, Tony.
And you know what?
This could go on forever.
I mean, not just open Pandora's box on impeaching her. The process of impeachment now. Remember, there was no due diligence, no due process in the House. We all saw it, so let's do impeachment and send the articles of impeachment over to the Senate. Are you free? That is not how the Constitution...
There's a different way to go about it. You cannot impeach a private citizen.
Yes!
Bottom line. But now that they've done that, okay.
Yeah. And then let's you have the judge and juror and Senator Leahy presiding over it and being a juror.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Will and Skokie, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning. Silly radio commentator there. You got to remember, this was not a legal process or a judicial process. This was a political process. In a political process, you can do anything you want. John Roberts, the Supreme Court Chief Justice, showed this was a political process because he refused to become involved. When you go up there, you listen to the House managers. They were politicians. They were putting forth a political argument. Political arguments are always full of lies and hyperbole and not giving all the facts. The Trump side, especially that one guy, I forget his name, he was a lawyer. He attacked it like it was a legal process. He followed the rules of evidence, and that's why he was able to expose all that crap. And I love it, by the way, when they finally played that entire Trump quote from the Charlottesville stuff.
Yep.
And, you know, Chris Cuomo sitting there going, gee, he actually said that? Whoa. Yeah. You know, if they live in bubbles. They live in bubbles.
Well, they just only hear what they want to hear. I mean, all the information is there, but they just cherry pick what they want to fit their
narrative. Exactly. And it's like the whole thing, and I've said this to you before, if a tree falls in the woods, but it's not reported on MSNBC, did it actually happen? And that's the game they're playing.
All right, thanks. Okay? Well, let's get a few more phone calls in. Greg and LaGrange, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, good morning, guys. Hey, John Anthony.
Hey.
You know, I don't think our side, let's just say our side, should weaponize this at all. I think the problems that we have, I think this is all political, obviously, like Will said. The pathetic thing about it is that it takes up so much bandwidth in people's lives. Here's the problem I have. I have many problems. Here's two major problems I have. The kids are going to go back to school. Now, if you look at the agenda that the Illinois Department of Education is going to try and push,
oh yeah, we're going to
Missouri's pushing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that at 8:35. Yeah, you know what Greg?
Oregon's
we're up against
pushing.
The clock. But thank you so much for calling. And listen, well, listen to the whole show. But at 8:35, we're going to be addressing that.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Monday morning. Happy President's Day, and I'm happy to have John Anthony here in for Dan Proft today, also the host of Black and Right. Thank you. I got it right.
You got it right.
Saturdays from 1 to 3.
That's it.
Ooh, actually, I've listened to your show.
What?
I've called in and you guys didn't take my call.
Uh-oh. Well, I wonder why.
I called in as Ginger from our prospect.
Oh, that's probably
next time
why.
I'll call in, you should take my
that's
call.
That's probably why.
Yeah,
Ginger
probably.
From our prospect.
But thanks for coming because I know it's rough on the roads
there.
And it probably took you, 3 hours to get
here? I felt like I was fighting against the roads. Like I felt like I went through a 12-round match with trying to get here.
Did
I
you mean, like you're all
you're clenching the wheel?
Clenching the wheel. Hands out. I didn't have heat, but I'm warming up now. So, anybody wants to drive me home?
Oh, there it is.
That's good. All right. So, the big scuttlebutt now that this impeachment 2.0 or 2.0, yeah, is over again, the big scuttlebutt was calling of witnesses.
Yeah.
And there was one representative who her name is Jamie Herrera. Butler, or how do you pronounce her last name?
Is it Butler or Butler?
Butler, Butler. Let's go with Butler.
Yeah
sure.
Okay.
Butler is it.
It works.
And she had some damaging information about during the attacks what President Trump was allegedly doing and the phone calls that were made between Kevin McCarthy and President Trump. Here's the intro.
Then you have to turn to what his actions were during the riot, I think, to indicate what his intent was. And let me tell you what he did and didn't do during the riot. You know, there are a number of people who were calling him. Lindsey Graham tried to call Ivanka Trump. Kellyanne Conway, who's a longtime confidant.
She called him as well to tell him, you got to do something. And then in comes Kevin McCarthy.
You know, I asked Kevin McCarthy, who's the Republican leader, about this. And he said he called Donald Trump. He finally got through to Donald Trump. And he said, you have got to get on TV. You've got to get on Twitter. You've got to call these people off. You know what the president said to him? This is as it's happening. He said, well, Kevin, these aren't my people. You know, these are Antifa. And Kevin responded and said, no, they're your people. They literally just came through my office windows and my staff are running for cover. I mean, they're running for their lives. You need to call them off. And the president's response to Kevin, to me, was chilling. He said, well, Kevin, I guess they're just more upset about the election, theft than you are.
Ouch.
And that's, you know, you've seen widespread reports of Kevin McCarthy and the president having basically a swearing conversation. That's when the swearing commenced, because the president was basically saying, nah, I'm okay with this.
So it's secondhand information, but if she was able to testify to that, what she just repeated, would things have been different? Would more Senate Republicans been persuaded to convict? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Because if they did call on witnesses, this could be going on for 6 months, a year.
Yeah,
they could keep going and going.
But you know what? The investigation would have been brought in too as well. I mean, everything about them understanding, knowing that something like this was going to happen, the National Guard, Trump approving the National Guard, but nothing happening.
Because of optics. They didn't want it to look bad.
I mean,
that the Capitol Police couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So they denied the National Guard.
Yeah. So,
but then there's some videos out there, and you're a former police officer, where they just let him in.
Just let him in.
What was that about?
And then there was a video of one guy screaming at the cops saying, are you guys going to do anything? And he basically saying, they are out for blood. And you guys are, and they're just standing around. Somebody gave a stand down order as well, I believe.
I just don't get it. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. And there's one last comment from this Republican representative.
So there was number 2, number 3, and number 4 in line to the presidency were under attack. And did the president call on them to see if he could help? Did he send anybody in to help? No. But he did place calls to senators while they were in lockdown. And you know what he said? He said, what else can you do? Can you do something to further delay the electoral counting? So to me, anybody who says the president didn't know what was going on is deluding themselves, because the president knew. In fact, he wanted it further delayed.
Okay. Are you buying that? Do you think there's any truth to that?
Why
would she make that up?
Yeah, where there's smoke, there's fire. I do believe some of this could have been something that was, you know, bandied about and talked about. But at the same time, it's happening. What do you want the president of the United States to do when there are men and women there who are there to protect that place?
Right.
I mean, what do you want him to do?
Well, he did tweet, you know, go home.
Yeah.
And then he did release a video. And he didn't say, we love you guys. Yeah. What was it? I don't want to misquote because I will get attacked.
Yeah, no.
I don't know
the full quote, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the essence of, you know, we love you guys. Probably didn't mean to say, we don't love what you're doing.
Right, right, right.
But I appreciate, you know, that you've supported me all the years, but go home.
Yeah.
Stand out.
Yeah. I mean, this is a president that's been on a constant attack for the last 5 years as well, though. Think about that.
19 minutes after he was sworn in, started the impeachment process.
Yeah.
A lot of them never even accepted him as their president.
Not once.
All those pea hat wearers.
Where was
out
this
there.
Republican during the summer as well? Did she call off anybody during the summer?
When 32
so don't
people
miss
died.
Me, miss me with all that. If you're not going to do it then, don't do it now. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. Dennis and Crystal Lake, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Amy. Hey, I love your show, Anthony.
Thank you.
When are you going to get it through your thick skull, as Anthony said, that these people for 4 straight years looked into the camera and lied? They would lie to Jesus Christ about the fish he caught. They have no morals. They have nothing. You and the spinsters on the North Shore got to get off your whatever you're on.
Spinster from the North Shore. That is not me. But that's all right. We can agree to disagree. Yeah. That's fine. But I'm definitely not a spinster. I don't live on the North Shore.
I do think we're saying the same thing.
Thanks, Dennis, for the phone call.
I do think you and I are both saying the same thing. But at the same time, there are some elements of what happened that you can't deny. 95% of the people that went to the Capitol and were Trump supporters.
Right.
That's undeniable.
But not all of them went to the Capitol
right.
and burst into the Capitol.
Right. But
a lot of them were just outside, and a lot of them had paid a heavy price. Losing their jobs,
yes.
Losing some friends,
yes.
And Lord knows what's coming down the pipe.
I'm so glad I didn't go. I got invited. I had a full paid trip, hotel,
really?
And everything. And I felt something. I didn't.
Wait, who offered to pay?
Oh, some friends.
You
some
know
friends.
Me. Okay, no
some friends.
Right.
Some friends. Yeah, who were going? And I was like, yeah, I don't feel this one.
Really?
I just don't feel it.
Because you're a huge Trump supporter.
I am.
And I'm a Trump supporter too.
I'm still a Trump supporter. Yeah, unabashedly.
So what was it that made you not want
to
go?
Well, first of all, close to 1 million people going to be there.
Oh.
And we had just left Florida. So I was like, yeah, I literally would have had to drive all the way home the very next day, sleep a couple of hours, and head on to a flight in a couple of hours. So I was
that
was part of it. And I was like, yeah, I just something about it. I felt something was off about it.
Okay.
I did. I really
your
did.
Friends that went, did they go to the Capitol too?
Yeah, one of them.
Did they go inside?
One of them's Cashley Kelly.
Oh, you know, okay.
Yeah, he's
Well, tell people.
Yeah, Cashley Kelly's a social media influencer. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been tweeted by you name the person that's on the right, Ted Nugent, everybody, about just his innocent comment about if black lives don't matter to black people, they don't matter. They have to matter to black people first before it matters to anybody else. So he just blew up. On the internet, and he went to the Capitol,
really? And
now he's in jail, and he was actually on something on another case. So now they're fighting him now with that, and I mean he has a great movement, Streetlight Unity movement,
uh-huh.
where they really push peace and coming together, and now he's in jail, and he'll probably they're trying to give him 10 years.
10 years for the what happened at the
yes.
Capitol?
What? Yes.
What he allegedly did because he hasn't been
right. Allegedly, allegedly.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
Tony, from Downers Grove, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Oh gosh, guys, you know, follow the timeline. This is so silly. So they go through the dog and pony show on Friday. Politico comes out with their anonymous conversation details being leaked now. On Saturday, they're going to call witnesses, yeah. And then the bluff gets called, and they're like, well, you know what? We really can't be brought up because that'll expose everything.
Yeah.
And McConnell includes, and here's what I want to know. What don't we know about why the National Guard is going to be kept there until March? You know, there have been conspiracy theories talking about something happening before March. I don't believe it, but they're out there. So
well, I thought that they'd leave after the impeachment trial, but they're staying out there till March?
Yeah, yeah. March.
Yeah. There have been conspiracy theories talking about something happening. I'm not saying I believe those. They're kind of cute conspiracies. But you have to ask yourself, why are they staying till March now? What don't we know?
Good point.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll look into it, too. But
can you imagine if Trump had done this? The outrage, the dictator, the fascist that's sitting in the White House,
not letting tours of the Capitol, or the people's house.
The hypocrisy. But the left, the progressives, don't care about hypocrisy. All they care about is power and attaining as much of it as they possibly can. They don't care about hypocrisy.
Now, some Senate Democrats didn't want this is great. Didn't want to call witnesses because they wanted to get home for Valentine's Day weekend. God. I mean, come on. According to media, they had to get home to their honey bunch. Ugh. Come here, let's snuggle. Pete in Racine, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning. Say, Amy, while you were playing that clip of that gal screeching away, did she actually say Trump said, these are my people, these are Antifa? Is that what I heard?
She said, he said that those are, no, Kevin McCarthy's like, no, they're not Antifa, they're your people.
Okay.
So, she wasn't called to testify
anyway. I
couldn't
believe it. That was anyway. Said the other way. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Pete, for calling. Appreciate it. Be safe out there in your travels. And if you have heat in your car, congratulations. It's a win-win today if you have heat in your car and big tires. John in Bridgeport, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hello there, guys. Okay, couple things. One, use Chicago as a microcosm of what happened. Scumbag mayor knew ahead of time that riots were going to break out. She knew 4 or 5 days prior, and she told the police to stand down. Mm-hmm. And Amy, I would love for you to bring this up to her at the next press conference you're able to go into, because I want to see how she responds. But
they're not letting me in. She's the only person that has one reporter that they choose, and you have to filter questions
Are
through
you
that
kidding
reporter.
Me?
Yep.
And the reporter doesn't ask my questions ever unless they like me.
Or if
they're
me?
Not like me, but they understand me, and it's a valuable question. It's so annoying. They asked me to leave last time, and I said, I'm not leaving. Call police or your security detail, and I'm going to film, I'm going to tape it all on my iPhone. You physically removing me from a public place.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, now, who was running the Capitol Police? Schumer, Pelosi, and the rest, they gave their orders, too. Third of all, do not lose this target. Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky's husband did 5 months in jail because he was training Democratic operatives to go to Trump rallies and cause disturbance. Even though he got taken out of the equation, other people filled his role. And that's why this whole thing that happened in the Capitol is not solely Trump's fault. Okay. It's a bunch of scumbags' fault. Please keep that in mind.
All right. Thanks, John.
That voice sounded familiar. John from Bridgeport, you said?
Yeah, John from Bridgeport.
I think I might know that John.
All right. More of your phone calls coming up. 312-642-5600.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning Answer.
On AM 560, The Answer.
Yeah, just telling John Anthony here, if the TV monitors in this room are off, that means we have a very serious snowstorm going on.
Oh, boy.
Because the dish on the top
need
of the
to clean
roof
this
is...
Out.
Yeah,
this
you, I'm going to go do that, you know, at the top of the 7th. Go get up there with my broom, clean it off.
Yeah.
312-642-5600, taking your phone calls. Let's go to David in Lansing. Good morning, David. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning. It's very frustrating for me. What was the name of the kid that got caught? He's from a group called, Insurrection USA or something. A leftist group, and his videos were still up on YouTube after January 6th. He got into the Capitol.
Oh,
and You know the name of that kid?
Yeah, it's two brothers, John and the two brothers.
Yeah.
Have they been arrested?
The one did.
Okay.
The one brother, but the other one is supposedly a conservative brother, and he basically ratted out his own brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's on video, and there's a website called Donald.win, and I think it was taken down. And
John
it's
Sullivan.
The only website I've. Yeah, it's the only website I've seen it on. I haven't went to the website in like 2 weeks. Last time I went, it had trouble. Like the whole thing got taken down. But there's a video out there of a CNN photographer called Jaden or Jade with that guy. And she's in there. They go in the rotunda with that kid I'm talking about.
John Sullivan.
John Sullivan's filming her. She goes, "Are you filming this? I can't believe we got in. It's a CNN photographer in there. Celebrating that they got in." Yeah. So CNN was part of the insurrection.
Oh,
her name is Jaden or Jade. I can't believe nobody's talking about it. It was viral on
the doesn't fit the narrative.
Website.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's like CNN did the insurrection. She was an insider instigating the insurrection, a CNN photographer.
All right. Thanks, David, for the phone call.
I'm sure one of your listeners would know about it.
Yeah, no, we're talking about it now, so that's good. And thank you for calling in and bringing that up. Let's go to another Dave in Wakanda. Hello.
Forever.
Wakanda.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Wakanda forever.
I wanted to ask, was it the impeachment trial? Did Donald Trump incite the insurrection or the riots, whatever you want to call it?
No, he was found not guilty or was acquitted.
That's right.
Right.
However, they brought up so many lies and unfactual things prior to his speaking of the January 6th, and they're trying to say things after the riots were taking place. That doesn't make sense. Granted, something that happened afterwards is, you know, it's hindsight, is 2020. But the problem is that he was found acquitted for incitement of the riots.
Right.
Why is it being brought up that after the riots were taking place, he didn't do this, he didn't do that? Sure, you could try to get him on anything you want.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Do you have an answer
for
political.
It?
It's political. I know.
It's political.
Let's squeeze in one more phone call. Who should we go to? Let's go to Stephen Woodridge. He's been holding on for a while. Good morning, Steve.
Hello.
Hey.
It's so good for you to take my call. Hey, what I wanted to quote Ilhan Omar and say some people did something on January 6th. But beyond that, Mitch McConnell, who, while Donald Trump was riding the wave of populism, he also rode that wave. And as soon as the wind changed, Mitch McConnell changed, which proves he is nothing more than a swamp creature.
All right. Thank you.
And you say?
Pardon?
And what do you say to that? Is Mitch McConnell a swamp creature or what?
Well, that's what his opponent campaigned against him. He called him Cocaine Mitch.
Yeah, Cocaine Mitch.
We're going to drink
Moscow
swamp.
Moscow
Mitch. That was so goofy.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Let freedom ring this afternoon at 2 with Sean Hannity on AM 560, The Answer.
Song reminds me of Tampa Bay. We'll get to that story later. There's a woman who wants an apology from Tom Brady. We'll tell you why. And it's insane. And what else is insane? Well, we have a little sanity restored because over the weekend, on Saturday, it has been determined that President Trump once again has won and has been acquitted of any wrongdoing in the second impeachment trial, a trial that should have never happened in the first place because you cannot impeach a private citizen. But his lawyer, Michael Vanderveen, was on CBS News. And did you see this interview? I mean, it's a must-have. I mean, she tried to get him. This, you know, even though Trump's gone and been acquitted two times now, they can't get enough of him. They want more. They want. Well, what about state and maybe federal charges now?
Are you expecting to face more charges against Mr. Trump in the near future? And do you anticipate being part of that defense?
No, that's just political rhetoric. And I was hopeful that something would come out of this, that the political rhetoric would stop out of Washington, D.C. But I guess apparently it hasn't.
And she kept hitting him on and just, you know, talking about insurrections, use it in your closing. And he said, no, I didn't. You didn't hear me, woman.
I used the word insurrection in my closing argument when quoting the charging documents. What happened at the Capitol on January 6th is absolutely horrific. But what happened at the Capitol during this trial was not too far away from that. The prosecutors in this case doctored evidence. They did not investigate this case, and when they had to come to the court of the Senate to put their case on, because they hadn't done any investigation, they doctored evidence. It was absolutely shocking, I think, when we discovered it. And we were.
And the best part is literally when he talked about mainstream media and the news.
Yeah. When I watch the news, I watch one station and it's raining. I watch another station at the same time and it's sunny. Your coverage is so slanted. It's got to stop. You guys have to stop and start reporting more like PBS does rather than a TV news show that doesn't have any journalistic integrity at all.
What I'm saying is okay.
Ma'am, your question is
I want to be clear for our viewers.
Listen, what
I want to be clear for our viewers about what exactly you're saying when you say doctored evidence.
The media has to start telling the right story in this country. The media is trying to divide this country. You are bloodthirsty for ratings. And as such, you're asking questions now that are already set up with a fact pattern. I can't believe you would ask me a question indicating that it's all right just to doctor a little bit of evidence. There's more stuff that we uncovered that they doctored, to be frank with you. And perhaps that will come out one day. But we won this case. And I'm not a sore loser, but what happened, or a sore winner, I should say, but what should happen is somebody should look at the conduct of these House managers. It's unconscionable, aside from all of the due process violations that my client had.
And then later, he did drop the mic. I mean, he literally, when he was done, just took off the mic and walked away.
Mic drop.
For more on this, let's welcome back to the program John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, former senior advisor for research and statistics at the U.S. Department of Justice's Office of Legal Policy, and author of Gun Control Myths, More Guns, Less Crime. And he also wrote a wonderful article on townhall.com. Trump's Senate trial rests on the claim that he lied about voter fraud. He didn't. Good morning, Mr. Lott. How are you?
Well, great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, quite a long introduction, but you're quite an accomplished human being. So what did you make of this second impeachment trial?
You know, I guess it was a political charade. I don't even think that the Democrats took it seriously. I mean, it's hard to believe that they believed half the things that they were claiming during the trial that was going on. And it just, compare it to something like what happened in 2017 at Trump's inauguration. I mean, there you had real violence that had occurred in terms of a lot of people being injured. Democrats, all the major Democrats were saying that Trump had, was an illegitimate president. None of them, condemned the violence that was occurring at that time where Trump supporters were being hurt. Anybody who listened to the Democrats putting on the case where they would just selectively take the word fighting out of context and not even put in the rest of it there, where he was talking about then fighting in terms of going peacefully to the Capitol and patriotically supporting the members of Congress and senators who were trying to challenge the vote that was there. I don't know. It was disturbing.
Yeah. Hey, John Lott, the thing about this whole impeachment process, you heard Lindsey Graham say that if the Republicans got, into office, that they could possibly impeach Kamala Harris. First of all, do you believe the Republicans have the moxie or the wherewithal to even or the spine to do something like this? I don't, but I would love to hear what you have to say
about the Republicans and if they have the spine to carry out a measure like this.
I doubt it. I mean, look, Lindsey Graham could have said the same things about Biden that he said about Kamala Harris. I mean, just in the last couple weeks, you've had Biden accuse Senators Cruz and Hawley of being Nazis like Joseph Goebbels.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. For a president, a sitting president, to go and attack members of the Senate as being Nazis like Joseph Goebbels, you know, I don't know. That seems like it could be considered incitement to the same degree. Surely worse than anything that Trump said. Biden condemned the people who were not involved in the riot, who were peacefully there on January 6th, as racist. You know, people have to be careful. I agree with their language. But to go and say that Trump, because he used the word fight you know, or some version of fight there, is just ridiculous. And to go and claim that the big lie, I mean, this whole trial was based upon the fact that Trump made some big lie about vote fraud, and therefore that riled people up, and he's responsible for any damages that occurred. Look, as Amy was mentioning, I think that there's strong evidence that vote fraud occurred. I think that there's strong evidence that significant vote fraud occurred. But, you know, you just before we get to that, just to answer your question one other way, compare 2017 to now. The Democrats fought every Trump nomination that was there, every political nominee that he put up. They wouldn't even show up for committee hearings in order to try to keep quorums from being established. They filibustered everybody that was there. Have the Republicans done anything similar against Biden? Not even remotely.
No.
I mean, they've only fought a couple of his nominations that are there.
Well,
and anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no. So if we don't have secure elections, we don't have a country.
Yeah.
And moving forward, this absentee ballots, it can go on forever. I wouldn't want a day where we just have an election day.
Yeah.
Like if you look at the Senate runoff in Georgia, that election lasted almost a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the longer you have, you know, the more time, there's more chance of, you know, the system being vulnerable.
Right. Look, people say that Trump is delusional for being concerned about the integrity of absentee ballots. You know, if Trump's delusional, the whole rest of the world is delusional.
Yep.
You look at Europe. 75% of European countries completely ban absentee ballots for citizens living in the country. Another 21% either limit it strictly to those who are in the military or those who are in the hospital, or you are required to have to go and show a photo voter ID in order to go and pick up the absentee ballot yourself. So 96% of European countries have much stricter rules for absentee ballots than we have in the United States, and it's because a lot of them used to have absentee ballots,
yeah,
but ran into fraud and stop using them. And, you know, here, you know, we don't even have even normal rules in this election in terms of checking signatures in many places.
That's ridiculous.
And we have places across the country where observers were not allowed to observe checking the signatures. They weren't allowed checking the actual count of the votes that were there. You know, they're real problems. One thing we heard over and over again during the trial this last week was that the courts, you know, the number 61 court cases had ruled that there weren't evidence of vote fraud. That's not what they did. Anybody who reads any of the cases know that in every single case, what happened was they said, look, Republicans, can you provide enough evidence that there was significant fraud that would change the outcome of the elections. And the Republicans said, well, observers weren't allowed to observe. Can you go and let us have discovery? Because you don't want these 1,000 affidavits that we have here. You want an actual count of fraudulent votes. And the judges would come back and say, look, we know that there's been a lot of irregularities, but before we grant you discovery, we want you to be able to go and show us up front that there was enough fraud to go and change the outcome of the elections. And the Republicans basically faced a catch-22. They couldn't go and provide a vote count of the number of fraudulent ballots because they weren't allowed to observe them, and they weren't allowed to go and have discovery until they could go and show that there was enough fraud that had occurred to change the outcome.
Yeah. John Lott, before we let you go, wanted to get your take on President Biden. Now he's calling on Congress to enact common sense gun law reforms, yesterday being the third anniversary of Parkland shooting. What exactly does it mean, common sense gun law reforms? Can you help us out?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there was a statement last week that the White House had met with all the leading gun control groups, and they promised, you know, quote unquote, a massive number of gun control regulations that they were going to be putting in. Looks like a lot of them with just executive orders that are going to be there. They're going to change the rules for defining what a gun seller is. They're probably going to go and ban the importation of a whole range of different types of guns. They've already taken some action. I don't know if people remember this, but back at the end of the Obama administration, there was something called Operation Choke Point. And what happened was the federal government would put pressure on financial institutions not to do business with certain, you know, companies that the government, the Obama administration, didn't like. And so you, if you were a gun seller, you might find yourself that no bank will lend you money, no bank will handle your checks, no bank will go and handle credit card statements from customers, essentially putting companies out of business. Trump tried to change that. The bureaucracy was slow, but he finally was getting some regulations that were had been approved and just had to be printed in the Federal Register about a week or so ago, and the Biden administration pulled that. So now, presumably, we're going to be going back to having the government pressure financial institutions not to do business with gun makers and gun sellers again.
We're going to have to leave it there for today, but thank you so much, John Lott, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, former senior advisor for research and statistics at the U.S. Department of Justice, and a great book, Gun Control Myths, More Guns, Less Crime. And we'll tweet out your article in Town Hall today. Thank you so much for joining us, Mr. Lott. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
Thanks. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Monday morning. Happy President's Day. Did you get my card, John Anthony? John Anthony, by the way, filling in for Dan.
I did
Proft
not.
Today.
Where's the card?
No, I don't send cards. Sorry. But happy President's Day.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, yes. What about Valentine's Day? Did you celebrate that?
Yeah, we went
with
out
your
to
wife?
The Arista in Naperville.
Oh, nice.
It's a nice hotel.
Okay. Oh, you guys had a
staycation. Got away from the kids.
You know what? That's the best thing. Have a nice dinner and get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, we wanted another day, though.
Pardon?
We wanted another day.
Really?
We slept most of the time. Because, you know, we don't get any sleep.
Well, with six kids, and they're all e-learning from home. And,
help
and
us. It's,
yeah, but March 1st, you get your freedoms back, huh?
Well, yes.
They're going back Monday through Friday?
They're going back Monday through Friday. And we told them all they have to go back.
Good.
Except the twins.
Well, here's the... Oh, why not the twins?
They're three.
Pardon?
They're 3 years old.
Oh, yeah. They don't have... Now, do you put them in a mask? Because technically, they're supposed
to be... No, we don't. But you know what? They put them on.
Oh, because they want to be like everybody
else.
They
have to have their mask on wherever they go. My two three-year-old twins.
See, how are we going to reverse that kind of psychology? Well, we can talk about that later in the show, because now we're talking about China.
Uh-oh.
And what is going on with China.
Huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And joining us is Gordon Chang. You can follow him, folks, on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. So G-O-R-D-O-N, Gordon, the letter G capitalized, then Chang, C-H-A-N-G. He's columnist at The Daily Beast, author of Losing South Korea and the Coming Collapse of China. And he joins us now on our turnkey.pro answer line. Good morning, Mr. Chang. How are you?
I'm fine. And hello, Amy and John. Thank you so much.
Hi. So you recently tweeted out that China's attempting to breed a new species of Chinese people. Can you please explain?
Yes. China is involved in all sorts of weird DNA experiments. So, for instance, they've been putting human genes into monkeys to make them as intelligent as Americans. This is really quite something. But what's really scary, though, is that they're trying to enhance the intelligence of Chinese and really breed a race of super Chinese. And this also includes super soldiers. When he was director of national intelligence, John Radcliffe wrote about this in the Wall Street Journal last December. And there have been a number of experiments that are ongoing throughout China to improve the human species.
And what kind of evidence do you have that this is going on?
Well, first of all, they've been reporting about it themselves. But the most important thing is that China conducted actually the first gene editing of humans. There's a professor, Jian Kui, who actually used CRISPR to gene edit embryos. And he was saying that he was trying to make them resistant to HIV, but there are also strong suggestions that he was trying to increase their intelligence. Now, this produced twin girls. He's also responsible, everyone says, for a third girl. He was eventually jailed for this, but not because what he was doing was considered wrong by China, because of the international uproar, because these experiments are not only dangerous, but they're also ethically
okay. Words
wrong.
Are hard on Mondays.
So really what's going on is that experiment plus about five others that have been reported on where Chinese scientists and researchers have been editing human embryos.
Yeah, and when you look at what happened with the I guess you want to call it, whatever you want to call it today, the coronavirus, the Wuhan, all that, do you believe that was a bioweapon? I mean, especially what you're saying that China's up there trying to create smart chimps. And I wouldn't put anything past this China, the CCP. I said it on my show, and I got a lot of pushback against it, that I believe that China sent, because they were so frustrated with the presidency of Donald Trump, because he was the first president that actually slapped him and pushed back against him. What are your thoughts about this whole coronavirus actually being something that they created as a bioweapon?
That escaped from the lab.
And escaped, yeah.
Well, we know that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was experimenting with the coronaviruses, these gain-of-function experiments, which are basically to make coronaviruses more deadly, more transmissible. So that is a strike that says, yes, they were. This wasn't a lab escape. Also, we know that China sent its top biological weapons expert, General Chen Wei, to head the P4, the biosafety unit at the Institute, in January of last year. And I believe that she was sent there to remove evidence of a lab escape, plus also perhaps to remove evidence of a biological weapons program. But when they cleaned up the lab like that, that was a real admission in effect of guilt. And they have done their best to prevent the international community from learning about the coronavirus. So we've got to suspect that. But the most important thing, John, is not how this started, but Xi Jinping deliberately took steps in December 2019, January of last year, to spread the disease beyond China's borders. So if it wasn't a biological weapon to start out with, he turned it into one.
Wow. And we've got to make him pay, though.
Yeah.
I mean, because the WHO, they went there and said, oh, no, it came from the wet market, from somebody eating a bat. And, you know, that I don't buy it for one second, because why did they wait almost a year to go?
Right.
To go investigate, you know, the source of the outbreak.
Yes, and we have all sorts of evidence that China did its best to prevent everybody from learning about this. So when you put all that together, China has a lot to answer for. And, you know, your initial point, we must make China pay, is absolutely right. And the reason is that this is not the last pathogen that will come from China's soil, which means that we've got to deter Xi Jinping from thinking he can deliberately spread the next pathogen. And we got to remember that China's working on pathogens that will basically leave the Chinese alone and sicken only foreigners. The Chinese military has openly talked about this type of research, which means that the next pathogen from China could actually be a civilization killer.
Oh, wow. Let's bomb them now. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, although I'm turning into one sometimes. All right, so the 46 minutes after Biden is sworn in, the WHO recommended change the way that they're counting positive COVID cases. Now they're just doing PCR molecular instead of the probable cases. And think about it. 2 weeks before the election, the CDC came out and said, oh, we're going to change the way that we're going to count cases. So all the cases in all the states went skyrocketed up. And then after Biden was sworn in, not elected, the cases started dropping at a time when we should have the most because we're, you know, indoors a lot. It's the flu season. Technically, and the WHO lost $237 million because Trump pulled out of the WHO. So they had something to gain by inflating the numbers, didn't they?
Yeah, they certainly did. You know, and they've also had a lot to gain by attacking the United States, which a number of these WHO researchers on this mission to China, which just completed, they had an incentive to do this. So, for instance, you had Peter Daszak, who is a leading member of the mission. He's actually admitted in January that he started a campaign in January 2020 to protect his colleagues at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Basically, he was saying there was no lab leak in January 2020. Well, he said that without evidence. So, you know, we're dealing with a lot of members of this just completed mission who were tainted, who have ties to the lab, who have admitted that they were protecting the lab without evidence. I mean, this is just horrible that we're even listening to this WHO mission.
Yeah. And Gordon, what are your thoughts about the aggressions of China since post-Trump? They're entering the airspace of Taiwan. That would have never happened under Trump. North Korea beating the war drum once again. What do you think is going to – what will be the final outcome with a Joe Biden presidency with China? Because he's already given them basically everything from America that Trump took away.
Yes. Well, you know, Biden's rhetoric on China has been okay. But when you look at what he's actually done, it's been a big giveaway. His executive orders, for instance, removed a Trump-era ban on China supplying equipment to the American grid. I mean, Biden said he wanted to review that ban, but while he was reviewing it, he should have kept it in place because now China can sell equipment to sabotage the American grid. And this is not just a theoretical concern. That decision on the part of Biden was indefensible, and, you know, that's not the only thing that he's done which is questionable. But, you know, we go through the list of the things he's already accomplished. He's given China a lot of stuff and gotten nothing in return. I just don't understand what's going on here.
Well, all right, Gordon Chang, thank you so much for joining us again. You can follow him on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang. Thank you so much. And your article, China Doesn't Have to Lift a Finger to Push Biden Around, we will tweet that out. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you, Amy, and thank you, John.
Thank you.
And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Hold on, I'm sending the producer something. Hold on, stand by. There you go. Oh, who sings this song? Will Smith. Oh, that's right, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Right? Wait, you got to turn your mic on. This sounds like what?
This sounds like the song "You Got the Vapors" by, I think it's Biz Markie. Doesn't it? That's the same track.
All right, so father of six, former police officer.
Uh-huh.
Former state rep.
Yes.
Do you have time to watch The Bachelor?
No.
Yeah, answer the question. Oh, wait, you did. You don't watch
it? Yeah, it's not my cup of tea. But I have read up on the incident as what's happened in the last week. I had to look up what BIPOC is.
What's say it slower?
BIPOC.
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 Black, that's an acronym for what? Black, indigenous,
and people of color.
What? Black, indigenous people of color.
That's what it means. I had no idea what it meant. I mean, because the language changes.
My kids are Latino, and now they're Latinx. I'm like, no. Yeah. They're Latinos. They're always going to be called Latinos.
Yeah.
I joke around. I'm like, we're going to wear my Latinos. I'm not calling my kids Latinx.
I know some black people that will take exception with clumping in people of color, because that means anybody. That means pretty much anybody that's not white. You know, and I like the Ados, the African descendants of slavery, I'm sure they would have a huge problem with being lumped in with BIPOC.
BIPOC?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The language is, I can't keep up.
All right. So here's the thing. So the Bachelor bombshell, Chris Harrison, he is stepping away from a while because he made a controversial comment because he defended a contestant whose last name is Kirkconnell. And she apparently attended racist themed sorority and college parties. Here's a little clip, but we're working on the bigger one.
Is it a good look in 2018 or is it not a good look in 2021?
It's because there's a big difference.
He was on the show Extra and he was saying, you know, she went to these parties. One was, I think, a Cinco de Mayo party where she had on a Mexican blanket and a sombrero.
What would you normally wear at a Cinco de Mayo?
To a Cinco de Mayo party?
Yeah.
Probably that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because it's Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
And then she went to a plantation sorority.
Which I've been to one.
Okay. So explain to people, because there are still plantations in the South.
Correct.
In Florida and South Carolina, North Carolina. They're called plantations because
they're plantations. Former plantations where slaves were once housed.
Right. But they never changed the name.
They never changed the name.
Plantation.
Correct.
So
correct.
Is it racist to go to... You went. You're a black man.
Yeah,
you went
I did.
To a plantation. And what? How were people?
Well,
dressed?
I was still state rep at the time, and everybody was dressed. What do you call those? Antebellum. Dresses. They had those. You know, the dresses with the corsets and I don't know what they had under it because it's like I don't know if it's metal
tooling or,
that keeps the dress like
metal.
Puffy.
It's a plastic hoop.
Okay, whatever that is. I don't know. Look.
I'm glad you don't know.
And we went. We had the old, you know, the old Windsor knots and the. The coattail suits. It was at a plantation, and they called it a plantation party.
All right, so this is what Chris Harris said on Extra that got him cancel cultured.
A couple of things. First and foremost, I don't know. I haven't talked to Rachel about it. And this is, again, where we all need to have a little grace, a little understanding, a little compassion, because I've seen some stuff online. Again, this judge, jury, executioner thing where people are just tearing this girl's life apart and diving into like her parents and her parents' voting record and what it's unbelievably alarming to watch this. I haven't heard Rachel speak on this yet. And until I actually hear this woman have a chance to speak, who am I to say any of this? You know, I saw a picture of her at a sorority party 5 years ago. And that's it. Like, boom. Like, okay, well, this girl is in this book now, and she's now in this group. And I'm like, really? Okay, well, there goes.
That was a very measured, mature response.
I don't know.
And he got canceled. He has to take time off of The Bachelor for that. I mean, it's a show I don't even watch, but my God. And that's true. Why are they, diving into her parents' voting records?
Right. To see, to basically see if she's vote Republican. To continue that white, you know, racist.
Well, I hope they're Democrats.
Yeah.
But I mean, do the Democrats not have anything better to do than to waste their energy on Rachel Kirkconnell, who won The Bachelor a few years ago, to dive into, to spend time to look at the parties she went to when she was in college?
I think it's bigger than a party. I think it's an ideology. I think these leftist regressives, I don't call them progressives because they're regressives. Cancel culture is the cancer of our culture. If we don't fight back and push back against it, I'm telling you, any and everybody is subject to being canceled and doxxed. We got to push back. We got to fight back. And I love that Gina Carano is fighting back, too.
Yeah, good for her.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. Let freedom ring this afternoon at 2 with Sean Hannity on AM 560, The Answer.
So reading the headlines over the weekend, let's see. New study finds asthma drug reduces hospitalizations of COVID-19. That's from The Hill. There's another one out of Oxford. A common asthma treatment reduces need for hospitalizations in COVID-19 patients, study suggests. And it goes on and on and on. Gee, John Anthony, who told us about this? Six months ago.
I was here.
Yeah, you were here 6 months ago when a doctor came on. He's Dr. Richard Bartlett, practiced medicine in Texas for 28 years and served on former Governor Perry's health care task force. And I think he was on to something, so we're bringing him back to the program this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Dr. Bartlett. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, John. Good morning to the good people of Chicago. I've got good news that ought to warm everybody up on a cold day.
All right. Tell us the good news.
90% of the people who have been hospitalized in Chicago could have avoided being hospitalized, according to this study that came out of Oxford University. This isn't a little place. This is Oxford University. It's been around for hundreds of years, reputable. They did a study with budesonide, an inhaled steroid, and they showed that if you use early treatment, even with an inhaler, which is less than what I'm talking about, using a nebulizer machine, which is a very simple device, they found that even if you just give a whiff of this stuff twice a day with an inhaler, you can decrease the hospitalization of COVID patients by 90%. What would it have looked like in Chicago for the last year if they would have been doing what you had on your show, Amy, about a year ago, where I started using budesonide along with aspirin and antibiotic and zinc to treat COVID early. And our message a year ago was early treatment with budesonide, an inhaled steroid that's generic, it's cheap, it's readily available at every single pharmacy in the United States. What would have happened in Chicago if 90% of the people didn't even have to go in the hospital?
Well, we probably would have had schools open.
Yeah, everything. So, I mean, we would not have been no lockdowns, no closed schools, no businesses going bankrupt because they were shut down. No drama. This is reality. We're not hopeless or helpless. There's been a great deal of misinformation, and I don't know, contrary to this, and facts like this, that we already have resources and tools in our toolbox to deal with this to help 90% of the people not even have to go to the hospital with COVID. Give me a break.
Well, how did you figure this out, that if you do, you know, budesonide and some zinc and the proper antibiotic, that would help reduce hospitalizations? Amy, I mean, what was your epiphany? What happened?
I'm an emergency room doctor. I'm actually doing a shift in the emergency room right now. I have a break between patients. And so I'm literally talking to you from the emergency room as the doctor. And so last March, I was praying between patients, Lord, what do I do if someone comes in here with COVID and they're dying and we don't have a strategy? Nothing's been offered to us that can help. The president mentioned something and then that got shot down. And so I had to go with what I knew. And we have some tools that are already being used. We are in the habit of stabilizing patients in the emergency room. And so this strategy developed in that atmosphere at that time. But when I saw that it was working, I couldn't be quiet. And so with great resistance, I've continued to speak out. And, you know, some people would rather believe whatever they hear from an authority figure, even if it's not true. And I don't know, do you have that sound bite from that I sent to you? Would you play that?
Yeah. Matthew.
Speaking of misinformation.
Yeah, this is Matthew McConaughey is interviewing none other than Dr. Fauci.
Oh, boy.
About budesonide and antibiotics. Listen to this.
Is there any downside to you know, there are people that believe that budesonide and taking zinc is working. Is there any downside to doing it?
You know, there's a placebo effect to make you feel better and less anxious. But in reality, Matthew, it doesn't have any effect.
Now, why would Dr. Fauci say that? The doctor who's supposed to, you know, look at new science and data.
Two masks.
Boy, man, I can't get in his brain. I don't want to get in there. I take care of patients. I don't know the last time he's treated a sniffle, but bottom line, there's things that are true. Oxford University is uncovering the truth, proving it again, that early treatment with budesonide, even by itself, will decrease hospitalizations by 90% for COVID. If you don't go in the hospital, if you're not sick enough to go in the hospital, then you're not going to die. So consider 90% of the moms, the dads, the sons, the daughters that have been killed by COVID, died from COVID complications. What if that? This basically says 90% wouldn't go in the hospital, according to this study.
Wow. Right, and then the death rate would have been a lot lower.
90% wouldn't have died.
But then let's talk too, because there's a problem, I know that I've called on you a few times to help out with some friends that I know that have family members in the hospital. You can't sometimes convince
doctors. Most doctors do what they're told.
Yes.
Most times doctors do what they're told. Okay. And, you know, we've seen in history in the 1940s that isn't a good strategy. You need to think, you need to, the patient comes first, and do all you can to stabilize the patient. And we already have resources. And so just because it didn't come from the CDC, the World Health Organization, or Fauci, doesn't mean you wait and let that patient die that's right in front of you. You don't wait a year to have the answer that you already know intuitively that you should be doing. And so, unfortunately, you know, there have been some monsters that are doctors in the past, but many doctors are not monsters. They care about people, but they're followers.
Yeah.
They're followers, and they do whatever they're told. And they got to wait until there's a randomized controlled trial, which is what this is, before they'll do it. Instead of using tools that are already safe or doing a risk benefit analysis of what can I do? Is it worth the risk? Is it potentially going to have enough benefit, like budesonide for nebulizer treatments? This medicine works for early disease. That's what that proved. But it also works for late disease. We had a lady in Odessa, Texas, that was on the ventilator, 100% oxygen. The husband was called and said, get hospice. And he said, no, I want budesonide. In 1 week, she's off the ventilator.
Wow.
You don't do hospice unless someone's terminal.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Bartlett.
Yeah.
You know, I was here sitting in the chair, and one of the things that I said last time you were on the show was we should use these type of treatments instead of sending them home for nothing. Do you I think that WHO, Dr. Fauci, CDC have all now been exposed in some regards for some of how fraudulent they can be. What are your thoughts along that line? Because I mean, I call them two-faced masks, Fauci now, because initially no mask, wear mask. Masks work, masks don't work. I mean, just all of the misinformation that they were giving out at the time. I get it. They didn't know initially. But I also think Trump also exposed him, too, because the way the vaccine.
Trump should have fired him.
Yeah, he should have fired him. The way the vaccine came out, it showed that a lot of the red tape is not needed. Where do we go from here?
Well, again, 90% of the people would not have been hospitalized according to the STOIC trial, a randomized controlled trial by Oxford University. Get that word out like you're doing right now. That's going to save the people of Chicago's lives that might get COVID. It's everywhere. Hiding from COVID behind a mask doesn't work. If it did, why would Fauci say two masks are a good idea?
Right.
If one mask worked. So I'm saying let's go with some common sense. Let's not let people hide the truth from the people and the doctors any longer. The STOIC trial from Oxford University proves it. Budesonideworks.com is a website that has a great deal of information. Budesonideworks.com. It has the interview with the husband telling the story about his wife who was written off by the doctors in the hospital, wanted hospice, demanded it, and he pushed back against the doctors and insisted on budesonide, and he has his wife, and the children have their mother today because of that. In the hospital, that's late disease.
Right.
But this trial shows that it works for early disease.
But we also know.
So there's a lot of misinformation, like you're saying, John.
Yeah. No, that's true. And then we know in cases where it's just too late. And in some cases, again, the doctors won't do it. And I feel like people that I know that had it were being held hostage in hospitals, and family members wanted to get them out. So they had to file for a court order to move them just so that they could try budesonide.
Wow.
And it shouldn't have to be that way. And that's what people are forgetting about this disease is you can't go see your loved one, but you also can't get them out of that hospital to transport them somewhere else unless you get a court order.
Which has been done several times up in New York, and that's made the news. The bottom line is the patient and the patient's family have rights in the United States. Mm-hmm. This is still the United States.
Doesn't feel like it sometimes.
Nope. They're being trampled on. They're being trampled on. There are patient advocates. There are ethics committees in every hospital. If you I can tell you, I've seen the pattern that the patients' families that stand up and will not take no for an answer and demand an appropriate treatment, which again has been proven by this Oxford study, their loved ones come home for the most part, and the ones that don't stand up for their loved ones, they end up going to a funeral. And 90% of Chicago people that have died might not have died, according to this study. Think about that for a minute. Have you been getting numbers in the news regularly of how many people have died in Chicago over the last year? Think about it. 90% of moms, dads, sons, daughters would have lived, possibly, according to this study.
Now that we have the study, and it was a 28-day study of 148 patients, now that we have this, are doctors going to be more, ready to use this kind of treatment?
I hope so. But, we're talking about people doing the right thing and thinking outside the box. But this is a randomized controlled trial that should help many doctors go over that threshold to using a safe, inexpensive, readily available medicine. It seems like a no-brainer to me.
Right.
This is a respiratory viral illness. We want to take care of it at the source. But here's what doctors need to understand, and everyone, is that it doesn't just stay there in the lungs. It causes clotting. It causes the release of these chemicals that cause all the symptoms. So don't wait until you're having trouble breathing to use budesonide, a nebulizer treatment of budesonide. Otherwise, you'll end up with many people are getting a heart attack, stroke, kidney failure, clots in the lungs all of a sudden. So that's why we have a whole protocol, which is inexpensive. Like, you got to take an aspirin a day, zinc, the budesonide nebulizer treatment, and an antibiotic to protect from bacterial pneumonia. And then we're having great success. That's not rocket science.
I know, and you saved me because I had bacterial pneumonia, and I got on it right away, budesonide. And I took it every 2 hours, and I was better in less than 2 days. Much better.
Yes,
because I wanted to die. I was in a bad place.
Here.
I couldn't breathe.
I'm telling you, bacterial pneumonia is a real common complication with COVID. Mm-hmm. And so many times people will test negative at some point, and they had COVID, they just didn't know it. And so anyways, we're seeing great success. We're seeing people live, not die. That's what I want for the people of Chicago.
Yeah. And doctor, I know we got to let you go because you're working, but what about, there's a new study out about masks in children, 25,000 school-aged children on the impact of masks. 53% had an increase in headaches. 50% had difficulty concentrating. 37% drowsiness. 29% shortness of breath. 26% experienced dizziness. And a third had sleeping issues at night because of all these masks.
At some point, you got to say, when are we going to say we're going to get off the stupidity train? There was no study that proved that masks work when they forced it on the public. But here's a study that proves that budesonide does work. When are we going to hear Fauci, the CDC, World Health Organization, the Chicago Health Department say, hey, here's a study that shows something, 90% reduction in hospitalizations and therefore probably lives? Let's do that instead of doing experiments on the mass public.
Yeah.
Basically, it was there's many experiments being done on the mass public, and without a study to prove that it's a good idea. There was no study proving that it was a good idea to force people to wear masks. And yet look at all the upset that it's caused
for people, to put it mildly.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's ruined our society. No one's nice to anybody anymore. It's what?
Mask shaming.
Oh, there's that too. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yes, shame and blame. Shame and blame. That's the message on the other side. There's two tracks of there's two sources of information, and they're opposites. One is shame and blame, and a lot of experimentation on the masses. It's how it looks like to me. The big social experiment of can we shame and blame people into doing these things? Or how about science and common sense and doing things that are intuitive for someone who's been trained and then practiced for 30 years? These things that are saving lives, you're seeing fruit from two different sources. We got lockdown, shutdowns, schools closed. We've got kids getting sick. By the way, I spoke to a school board in outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma, last year, and there were more kids that got that died from school bus related accidents by that time of year than from COVID related deaths.
I know.
Are we going to say stop the school buses because we want to save the children? You'll never hear anybody say that.
All right, Dr. Richard Bartlett, we're going to have to leave it here for today. The website, again, is budesonideworks.com.
Budesonideworks.com, and that's the generic name for Pulmicort, which is easier to spell. Budesonideworks.com. It has a great deal of information, and we are not hopeless or helpless. We have hope and help.
Okay.
And so we got good news today on a cold day in Chicago.
Yep. Thank you so much, Dr. Richard Bartlett. Always a pleasure, and we'll have you back soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning on this frigid cold, sub-zero, 18 below wind chill?
Ugh, that's cold.
Yeah, it's cold, especially when you don't have heat in your car.
Polar vortex.
Yes. John Anthony here today in for Dan Proft. A perfect day because we are having one of your favorite people in the world on as a guest. And that is Congressman Burgess Owens. You know who he is. Former NFL star standout. And I have to tell you, I was in St. George, Utah for most of my, because, you know, when we couldn't work from, we had to work from home. I decided to socially distance myself outside of the state. And the guy he was running against had campaign ads on every other commercial was a campaign ad. So it was a fierce fight. And actually, his opponent declared victory.
Yeah.
And then they counted all the votes. And that is why we are pleased to, again, have Burgess Owens, Congressman, join us on our turnkey.pro answer line. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Look forward to chatting with you guys. It's your
good morning.
So, John Anthony, here's a story because I want you to tell your story
about
and get your reaction.
The censorship?
Yes, censorship.
Yeah. How you doing, Congressman? I'm a long-term fan. I love all your books. I've read all your books, both of the books, especially the Liberalism. I love that book.
Okay.
Great book. But, you know,
this
past week I created two Facebook pages just to see how the censorship was, if it was real. I created one that said, Confessions of a Frustrated Democrat. And the handle I put, Frustrated Democrat. Nothing. Went through with ease. So then I created one that said, The Confessions of a Frustrated Republican, and tried to put the handle, Frustrated Republican. Guess what it told me? This page could not have a username. I mean, is that censorship, or is that just, you know, maybe that was a flaw in the system or something? I don't know.
No. This is what's happening, there's an upside. Believe it or not, I mean, as frustrated as we are, as much as we see now being turned around, and there's a few things that the Biden has done that has actually turned things upside down while people have been focused on this impeachment thing. But I think the most important thing that will come out of this, guys, is that America will see contrast, and every now and then we need to do that. You know, we're a country of optimism. We look forward to our dreams. We take advantage. We take for granted the freedoms we have every single day. Like you just did 3 or 4 years ago, you would not have thought any different about what you did. Matter of fact, you would even have done it. But the fact is, we're now at a point where we can begin to see, going from the feeling of freedom to where we now know that anything we can do can be stopped. Yeah. I mean, we don't have the freedom to begin to start a business, to go to church, to have our kids in school, to even have the freedom of speech that we took for granted. So this is what America needs at this point. And when, as we see it more and more across the board, Democrats, independents, and Republicans of our country, will see that the hard left is our true enemy. Not each other, but the hard, radical, Marxist left that's been at us for a long, long time. We just didn't know it. And they've been hiding behind, by the way, they've been hiding around our liberal friends for a long time.
Yeah.
They give our liberal friends a bad name, and we need to make sure that we point them out, not the good folks who might think of it a little different way, but still love our nation.
I mean, Congressman, you live in a different world than we do here. I can't go to church. My kids haven't been to school in 336 days. It was supposed to be 14 days.
Yeah.
But I could go to a strip club, and I could go to a casino.
Yeah. Think about this. What is good? I mean, it's hard to believe we're here, but here's the upside. We're now talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, across the board, Americans are talking about it. And this is the thing that I would say. We are a country of empathy. That's why we've done so well in terms of reaching out, not only here, but around the world, trying to serve and help people. What I've been concerned about the last few years is how the black community has been turned upside down. Not being able to go to school, not having good education. You know, you have 75% of the black boys in the state of California not being able to pass standard reading and writing tests in 2017. We can say it, but nobody gets it.
Yeah.
It's because people are sympathetic, but until we feel it, we're not empathetic. What's happening right now, Americans across the country, no matter how wealthy they are, what zip code they live in, are saying, I don't like the fact they have no choice.
Yeah.
That teachers can put their selves above ourselves. So it's a chance again for us to see across the board that all of us need to have these choices. And we need to talk about make sure our least can have the greatest opportunity to break out of those cycles of poverty.
Yeah. And Congressman Owens, I actually met you when I was a black Republican state rep from Illinois. I don't recall if it was an educational class meeting. But you and I, that's what we discussed about education and just how it's the great equalizer. And I really don't think black America has awakened to – I think they're awakening, but I really want them to understand just how important school choice is. And I know you are a huge proponent of school choice as part of one of your legs that you really ran on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it started off – our founders said it from the very beginning – ignorant free can never be. And that was Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah.
And so what has happened is the left understands if we are not educated, we can't think critically, we're very apt to be controlled by emotions. And that's what they've done to the black community. And John, I'm not surprised that's where we met, because that's been my passion, education. And we're going to make sure that the good thing is this, because the last 4 years, the black American, the Hispanics, Asians, across the board, gay, all across the board, people waking up to the policies of giving them freedom. And so I'm more hopeful now because we had, 18% of black men this last election voted for a Republican, Democrat, for President Trump.
Yeah.
So we're waking up. And the good thing about this process of awakening, they can never, ever do what they've done in the past, progressively get us to where we've bought into what they're doing. We're leaving the plantation. Americans, black, white, across the board are seeing now the evil impact of an ideology that's anti-God, anti-family, and anti-capitalism. And that's the Marxist way. So we're waking up to it. Just hang in there. They're going to go so far to the left that in 2022, it's going to be a landslide in terms of what we're going to do in the House and Senate. And that's what we need to do to stop this this process that's moving on right now.
Congressman Owens, I'm sure you watched Donald Trump's back-to-back impeachment trial championships. Never done before in American history. It shouldn't have been brought, especially, not the first time, but the second time, because he's a private citizen, and that's you can't impeach a private citizen. What did you take away from that exercise?
Well, I
don't even know what you really want to call that.
Yeah. Well, it's this is what I see it in my background. I'm so proud of my heritage. And whether it be my great-great-grandfather, Silas Burgess, who came here on a slave ship, very successful entrepreneur at the end, my grandfather, my dad. My dad, until 39 years old, until I was 13, did not have something that we just saw that was lacking. It's called due process. In this country, we never go mob mentality. That's the Democratic way. Mm-hmm. That's the Democratic Party that had the KKK, the Antifa, the BLM. They believe in emotions. They believe in bullyism. They love to hide themselves and destroy things. That's not due process. America does not like it. And all we have to do is put ourselves in that position, how we like it, if somebody would make charges and we have no way to defend ourselves, but our lives can be destroyed. I don't care. We give our most horrendous examples of human beings in this country due process because we believe in that in our country. That's it gives us faith in our democracy and our rule of law. We cannot allow the Democratic Party to change now what we think is the most fundamental thing in our country. So what we saw as an example, and I hope my liberal friends understand, what we saw was a travesty. We can change the evidence, we can tell lies, and there's no consequences. You can say anything you want to. We cannot have our country drifting that way, because at some point, any of us can be caught up in it, and we find ourselves in a position that we know is totally unfair. So there was no due process, and the Democratic Party will suffer from it. Yeah. And those Republicans who decided they wanted to put aside that great basic right, they will pay a price in 2022.
Yeah. Congressman, three quick things. First, you got to come on my show, Black and Right.
Black and Right.
I've been trying to reach out to you to get you on there, so we're going to make sure you get on that.
Okay.
Your very first Judiciary Committee, that speech needs to be played throughout Black America, because it was something that was moving and inspirational. So that speech has to get out. And hopefully, I can one day call you Senator Owens.
No, let's not go there, buddy. But here's the thing, and I'll just say this. America, thank you for putting together a freshman class that is truly a game stopper. It's a game stopper. These folks across the board are doing they believe in our country, and they will be there to hold that line for the next 2 years. So we pulled off a miracle. 15 flip seats. We didn't lose any of the other seats. And so we have a margin now that says that those moderates, if there are still any in the Democratic Party, if they want to be around in 2 years, they need to come to the middle and begin to work with us to make sure the American people are going back to work, getting their kids in back in school, mm-hmm. and those who want the vaccine need to get the vaccine. Those are things that they need to work with us on, and stop wasting our time and money on all this anger and fisticuffs. These guys are, it's hard to believe they've actually won. It's hard to believe. They're so angry about this. We cannot allow it to continue to happen. And John, let's make sure, John, let's catch up and make sure we do the Black and White, okay?
Yes, sir.
Seriously.
Yes.
Black is Right is a show. On this station, too. And thank you so much for joining us, Congressman. We really appreciate it. How are you enjoying Washington, D.C.?
It's a great time to be there. And I'll say this, you know, I remember sitting in the locker room back in, gosh, years ago, Super Bowl, thinking, I cannot believe I'm sitting here. I feel the same way about this time. I can't believe I'm sitting here. The district allowed me to present them during this time, and we can be the voice. All of us can be the voice that America needs to hear right now as we work together. You, us, the entire, everybody's speaking up right now. This is our moment to bring our country back, and I just thank you guys for being part of it.
Don't you love him?
I know. You're the best, and I'm going to get your book. Congressman Burgess on Utah's 4th Congressional District, former NFL player, and I forgot to mention Super Bowl champion, and author of Why I Stand, From Freedom to the Killing Fields of Socialism. Thank you so much, Mr. Owens, for joining us.
Most importantly, a proud American. Thank you, guys. Amen. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, you're all giddy over there because Congressman Burgess Owens was on the show.
Hey, he's a hero of mine. So, I felt like I was a fanboy.
Is he going to sign my autograph?
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. You got me.
But he's going to be on your show.
Yes.
This Saturday?
I don't know. I told Justin to cut that audio so I can have it to send to his scheduler.
Yes.
There you go.
We'll get you hooked up.
I know. Thank you.
Because he committed on the air.
On the air.
Whose idea was that?
That was your idea, Amy. Thank you.
Don't ask him. Let's make him commit on the air.
Well, but you know,
he's a decent human being.
Yeah, but it's not my show, so I don't want to, you know.
Trust me, sometimes I don't feel it's my show either.
Uh-oh.
Ruh-roh. All right, vaccine. Are you going to be taking one?
No.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. What do you mean?
I don't even take the flu vaccine.
Oh, I
don't
do
even take
year.
The flu. I've never had the flu vaccine ever. I'm not putting something. I'm sorry, Trump. I love you, but this was pushed through in half.
Oh,
I reckon
so.
I don't know what's in that.
A denier.
You know what's in it? I don't know. It's not. No.
It's not a live virus. I know that.
Listen,
I'm not going to even pretend to know what's in that.
Yeah, but I'm not one of those people who believe in vaccines and especially for something like this with a 99.9% survival rate.
Well, we have these extortionists called the CTU members who said, oh, if we get a vaccine, we'll go back to school. Well, now they want, no, and it's not over yet. Now they want high schoolers 16 and older to get vaccinated in order for them to go back to high school because high school's not even, they're not even being considered this
year. What's the science say?
Well, here's Dr. Jha. From ABC News.
I think it is important that we figure out whether we can vaccinate kids safely or not. Right now, Moderna and Pfizer are studying it in 12 to 17-year-olds. I expect that data sort of late spring to early summer. The big issue is going to be, what about younger kids? And I think we absolutely need to do safety studies to make sure that it is safer in younger kids. I think all of that will probably take into the summer or fall. But I think it's important that we figure out ultimately whether we can get kids vaccinated. And I think we'll get there, by the way. I do think we'll be able to vaccinate.
God, let's get through winter before you hear summer or fall. I can't. Some days are better than others.
Yeah, they miss the forest for the trees. Isn't that the saying? What's that saying?
Mary Kay, who joins us from Western Springs, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning, Mary.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, John.
Hi.
No, I'm not going to take that vaccine until all the old people get it first. Yep. I want everybody, you know, in the high-risk category, I agree, to trickle down, get the old people vaccinated, keep them safe, and then I'll get it when that's done. You know, when you have those pre-existing things that happen to you, like anaphylactic shock and stuff,
yeah.
I had that once, and I know it probably won't be a factor, you know, because usually don't have that from a vaccine. But, you know, I don't
Mary,
know,
has your mother gotten that yet?
No, she hasn't.
Is she on a waiting list?
Can't figure it out. No,
it's so hard. Gosh. I mean, old people.
I'm tired
old.
And cold.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's very hard to figure out. Thanks, Mary Kay, for the.
That's a fair comment. You. That's a very fair comment. What she just said. Let all the people who are, you know, the elderly population and those who have comorbidities and
Illinois, if you're a teacher, you go first. And I'm not throwing my very healthy older sister under the bus, but she got her first vaccine because she's in 1B.
Prisoners too, right?
Yeah, prisoners too. Yeah, but yep, my mom sits there waiting. Like a prisoner herself.
Great leadership.
In her home.
That's a lot of great. That's great leadership there.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. They so fake woke. Facts don't care about feelings. They know they
won't tell me what to believe in. They so fake. All right. Who sings this song?
Tom McDonald.
Tom McDonald. He's your new jam.
Oh, that's my guy. I've been with him since I first heard him a couple of years ago.
And that name of the song is Fake Woke.
Fake Woke.
Yeah, but his his lyrics, though, are spot on.
Spot on. It fits today's culture perfectly.
The cancel culture.
Yes.
And then, you know,
yes.
This ultra woke
yes.
thing that's going on. And tomorrow is the day, folks, that your state reps are going to be voting. Am I correct? Because you're a former state rep.
Yes.
Voting on this new curriculum.
Yeah.
This indoctrination, how would you describe what this is?
Indoctrination is a perfect term.
Yeah.
And
I'm so smart.
I think it's a JCAR. I don't think the full body's voting. I think it's the joint committee. I think it's a joint committee vote. So there's 12 people. There's 12 people that are going to be voting on this emergency rule.
All right. Well, with more on that, let's welcome to the program Stanley Kurtz, senior fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center. His article, Ultra Woke Illinois Mandates, our top threat to U.S. education. Good morning, Stanley. How are you?
I'm great, Amy. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so what's going to be happening tomorrow? Walk us through it.
Well, tomorrow, the Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, the JCAR, is going to be voting on new teaching standards for Illinois teachers. And they really will force teachers to indoctrinate their children or train them to do that. Teachers originally were told that they have to teach in progressive political terms. Now, they cut that word out because it caused such a hue and cry. But the truth is, if you read everything else in the standards, it still is forcing them to be progressive. They have to affirm that America is a systemically racist society. They have to affirm the fact that there are multiple genders and fluid gender identity. They have to lead their students in protest and even lobbying expedition. They're even encouraged, teachers are encouraged to grade students on their social justice activism, not just their test performance. And if a teacher doesn't do all of these things, then they're encouraged to consider some kind of therapy to mitigate their Eurocentrism or even their whiteness. So this is a very extreme set of teaching standards. The Illinois Board of Education claims that it has nothing to do with curriculum because it's only about teacher training, but they're training teachers and telling them what to do in class with the curriculum. So the school board just isn't telling the truth about just how much this rule is pushing indoctrination on Illinois schools.
I have so many questions, but first one. So would there come a day where they would take our children, you know, with the permission slip signed, of course, to an Antifa or a BLM rally?
Well, actually, believe it or not, this can happen right now in Illinois. Illinois leads the country in a politicized version of civics. There was a civics law passed in Illinois in 2015 and further legislation since then that creates something called action civics. And action civics means that Illinois students are encouraged to do protesting and demonstrating as part of their so-called civics education. They're also encouraged to do what's called service learning, but really it involves signing up as a volunteer with mostly left-leaning community organizations, and usually that also means joining in protests or demonstrations. So instead of that being the bottom of the slippery slope, it's actually happening now.
Wow. Well, you know, Stanley, I as a former state legislator, I'm so confused by the process of how they're going through JCAR instead of allowing this to go through the legislative body. You have 12 people voting for this, and I don't know if it's a proposed rules and the emergency rules or the preemptory rules, the different rules depending on how it's introduced in JCAR. I don't know if you know that, but what does it say about Illinois that it goes through JCAR instead of the entire legislative body so that all 159 of the legislators and senators can have a real debate about how this will affect Illinois residents and students for years to come?
You make a great point, John, and a lot of the legislators right now are complaining about exactly the point that you have raised. This, properly speaking, goes way beyond any law that the legislature has passed. As supposedly administrative rules are just putting into effect in more detail the laws that the state legislature has passed and the governor has signed. But this goes way beyond that. Now, JCAR, as a committee, is supposed to just check over these rules and make sure they don't go beyond the law. But in this case, that's unlikely to happen. And a lot of the legislators I've heard discussing this are saying that the legislature has gotten into a bad habit of kicking a lot of tough decisions over to the bureaucrats, the unelected bureaucrats. Yeah. And then it comes before JCAR, and JCAR rubber stamps it, and presto, you've got a situation where a left-leaning bureaucrat can push what is in effect a new law on the state without it having gone through democratic procedures, and I'm afraid that's what we're seeing happening here.
Is there anything parents can do? And does this just apply to public schools? I can't get involved in Catholic schools or private schools, correct?
Well, technically that's correct, Amy, but there's a sense in which it could eventually have an effect, say, on a Catholic parochial school. Catholic schools and other private and denominational schools often prefer to hire teachers who have been certified by the state. Now, they don't have to do that, but there are various reasons why they want to do that. Now they're going to be forced into a decision. Do we want to continue to hire teachers who've gone through this certification process, which has now become totally politicized, or do we start looking for teachers who haven't done that? And if that's the case, how do we make sure they're properly trained? So it really is going to put even private schools into a pickle.
Yeah, and Stanley, I'm going to tell you, if you're a parent out there, the best way to push back against this process is to contact your state legislator who's on JCAR and your state legislator within the district. And when you contact the person in JCAR, make sure that you are a representative. I mean, that they're your representative, because otherwise they're not going to listen to you. So I believe parents who are frustrated and upset about this.
Well, this is go scary stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's beyond scary.
I mean, where are we again? Where are we living? What happened to our America?
Yeah.
I do think that if the public floods JCAR with emails and phone calls, even between now and tomorrow, there might be a change. The deck is stacked against people who object to this rule, but it's not impossible. Rules have changed before. The Chicago Tribune came out today just with an editorial saying the standard should be put on hold. So I don't think it's hopeless. And I think if people were to contact the members of JCAR and their own representatives with emails and phone calls, it's possible that this could be put into suspension. If it's not, then I think Illinois is headed down a very extreme path.
Who came up with this idea? Who thought that, sat down like, this is going to be a great idea? Let's indoctrinate students. Was it this? Who was it? Was it school board? Was it a state rep?
It was the school board, but ultimately, of course, Governor Pritzker is responsible for this. It's coming from his administration, and he's someone else who could put this rule on hold. But it was the school board, and it began before the demonstrations of this summer, but I do think they influenced probably the direction in which it went, which has been a very radical direction. And so this, again, I think these are left-leaning bureaucrats. The school board appointed a committee to form up these rules consisting of, I think, pretty strong leftist advocates. Many of them were teachers, but they were coming from advocacy groups. Mm-hmm. And some of them, I think, may have been legislators themselves on the committee that drew this up.
Yeah.
This is a sign of what the woke folks, where they want us
we
to
get
go.
A song
as
for
a
that.
Song. But Stanley, to me, I think it's a little bit more sinister. I think it's to indoctrinate these young impressionable minds for the ultimate thing, their vote. And now they're gonna in Illinois, they want to reduce the age to voting to 16 years old.
Of course they do.
Oh, I completely agree. And I think if you look at the way the civics law has been enforced, you'll see one of the things the legislature did with the civics law, and this was the idea of these leftist advocates, was to allow private money to come in and help to fund it. Now, that sounded like something that would help save money for the state, but what in practice it's meant that these leftist foundations in Chicago have been able to take control of the civics curriculum, and then they go out to the more conservative areas of the state and try to push it on the teachers there. So I do think this is an attempt, and you'll see it in other states, to turn the red areas of the country blue. I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to keep an eye on this, and thank you so much, Stanley Kurtz, Senior Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center, and his article, Ultra-Woke Illinois Mandates Are Top Threat to U.S. Education. Thank you so much, Mr. Kurtz, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.proanswer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Your show keeps me alive during the week. There's nobody I'd rather listen to between 5 and 9 in the morning than you guys.
On AM 560, The Answer.
All right, let's take some phone calls to close out the show. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Anthony, what is wrong, John Anthony?
What's this music?
It's very soothing, John Anthony. It lowers the blood pressure.
Hey, I need some more.
What was your name or your group again?
Tom McDonald.
Tom McDonald.
Fake woke.
Fake woke.
Look it up.
Okay. He's a rapper. He's got a lot of tattoos going on there.
Piercings, too.
A lot of piercings. Yeah. All right, let's go to Rick, who joins us from Des Plaines, and I hope that this is Rick, who's with Debbie. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Amy. Yeah, it's the same Rick with Debbie. How are you?
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. When was the last time you called in? 10 years ago, maybe?
Definitely a while ago, probably over 2 or 3 years, but I saw you in Indiana, remember?
I know, I saw you, because that's where I go every weekend, and I still go to Highland, Indiana every weekend to shop, to do yoga, but don't tell anybody it's a secret, because you
there
can
you
do
go.
Yoga without a mask.
That's why you can't go
to
City Hall.
To the best teacher, her name's Rachel, she's amazing, and then I gas up and I go home. Because I'm not giving, I don't want to give Illinois any more of my money if I don't have to.
That's what life will
But anyway,
keep
you Rick,
out.
Are you going to be taking the vaccine?
No, personally, I am not.
Why?
Not unless Mr. Pritzker decides I have to, and even then, I'm not.
Okay.
My man.
But why not?
I just don't want it. Like your guest was saying, Mr. Anthony, I believe. Yeah. I've never had a flu shot except when I was a little kid in school who didn't know any better. Back when they had the air pistols that would shoot the shot in your arm that way.
Old school. All right, Rick. Well, thanks so much for calling in. I hope you did something nice for Debbie on Valentine's Day.
By the way, happy belated Valentine's Day to you. And there's not much to do.
Yeah.
Can't go where. Go anywhere.
All right. Thanks,
but you
Rick.
Know what?
Oh, yes.
There's no, I didn't have a shark in Shark Week, so why would I have a Valentine on Valentine's Day?
There you go. All right. Thanks, Rick.
Good
thanks.
Talking to you. Bye.
Right, bye, dear. Take care. I love Rick. He went on all of our listener trips.
So you
and
know,
he made the trip.
You know why Lightfoot won't let you in, right?
Why won't Lightfoot?
You're going to Highland, Indiana every week. You're
every weekend.
You're
oh, and then I go
order.
To Hammond to watch my son play basketball. Because it's either in Hammond or Wisconsin. Suzanne in Mount Prospect, also known as Pleasantville. Hello, Suzanne. It's my hometown.
Hi, Amy. Hi, John. Yes, I just wanted to let you know that on the IllinoisPolicy.org website, it has an article on the education policy you were just discussing.
Okay.
And it has a link to the JCAR members. So it's an easy place to get the information to send out emails, which I did. I sent it to Republicans. I didn't know if the Democrats would have any useful.
Probably
not. But again, can you tell us that website one more time, please?
Sure. It's the IllinoisPolicy.org website.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. That's IllinoisPolicy.org. Yeah. We are very familiar with that group.
Oh, yeah.
EJ in Rockford. Good morning. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yes, thank you, Amy and John, and keep on keeping on if you can, because the people on the right are really scared. There aren't enough Republican votes in Illinois to change a damn thing. But I also emailed the members of JCAR, the Republican members of JCAR, thanking them for their commitment and asking them to vote no, and that's what we should all do. That's our only hope, I guess.
I know. Well, we got to, you know, now's the time to make your voices heard. That's for sure.
Yeah. The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.